Megan, I'm an alcoholic. And my friend Bill asked me to speak as I walked in the door, and I kind of want to punch him, but we'll do it later. My sobriety date is April the 20th of 2010, which is also National Get High Day. For those of you guys who didn't know, and it was definitely not by choice. It was something I needed to personally do because I had been sober prior to that date, but I needed a relapse to kind of get my crap together. But I was born in Lakeland, and for those of you who can't tell by the way I look, I'm half Asian. My mom is fresh off the boat Asian. So our house was very Asian. Like we had a hammock in our house so I could take naps in as a little kid. It was awesome. But throughout my childhood, I always strived to be like the perfect Asian daughter, which I mean, I don't even know what that is. But you know, like my mom didn't get the opportunity to go to school. So me going to school and making straight A's was a big deal. And I just remember like being 3 years old and I was trying to write my name and study and I wasn't writing it perfect enough for her. And she smacked my hands with a little spatula. So I mean, I always strive for that perfection and I never felt like I was good enough or I was a part of anything. Cause I just wanted to be perfect for my mom. Like I wanted to be the perfect Asian girl, even though I don't even have like Asian eyes or anything. Like they're not slanted. So I didn't start using anything or drinking till I was 15 years old. I went to a private school, so we were really sheltered, you know, like the uniforms and all that good stuff. So my conception of God was really screwed up. And by the time I was in ninth grade, I thought I was going to hell. And I was okay with that. Cause I thought I was a rebel, you know, I was like, man, God doesn't like me. I don't like him. I'm okay with that. I'm gonna do my thing. And I'd always been a good student in school. But for whatever reason, I decided to get involved with some people. And, I don't ever remember my first drink of alcohol. I remember the first time I smoked marijuana. And I remember like distinctly looking at everybody who I was smoking with and I was like, you guys are whack. Like this stuff takes way too long to get high off of. This is ridiculous. And that's where my drinking started. It took too long to get high, so I just drank. It was quicker. All you had to do was open a bottle. You didn't have to do anything else. And at first my drinking was just weekend warrioring it out. I had to sneak out of my house all the time because my mom was really strict about curfew. And like I would come home from college and be like, Mom, I'm 18, 19 years old. Like you can't tell me to be home at 10 o'clock at night. She's really Asian. like, it's like, what the heck, Mom? So I mean, every weekend my window screen would be broke or I would forget to put it in. And my dad and mom would be like, what happened last night? And I would just make up these crazy stories. Like, you didn't hear that windstorm? Like, why is there a throw up in your room, Megan? I just ate really bad Taco Bell last night. I don't know what happened. And I'm pretty sure my parents knew I was sneaking out. There's really no way for you not to know when your daughter's like screen to their window is broken every other week, you know, every weekend. So I was okay my first year of drinking, just drinking on the weekends, but eventually like it wasn't enough. And I got involved in some other substances that kept me going through the week into the weekend, and I was okay with that because I didn't have to feel anything when I drank or did anything else. You know, I felt okay with the world. Like everything, it was like, how did I describe it last time? It's like alcohol gave me a really big hug. You know what I mean? Like my mom and I were never huggy, lovey-lovey. We tell each other we love each other now, which is awesome. But alcohol gave me a hug. It told me it loved me and it didn't care what I did or what I looked like or what grades I got in school. Like it was okay with him. And it was king alcohol, like it describes in the big book. It took over every aspect of my life. And when I was applying to college, I managed to graduate high school with a really good GPA in the top of our class. And everything was okay. Like my life, even though I was drinking almost on a daily basis at that point, like life was going really well for me. And I went to Florida State. Not because I liked the political science career there or any of that good stuff. It was 4 hours away. They gave me a scholarship, which I could use to buy booze. All that money for booze. And I didn't have to deal with my mom. You know, like this whole entire time, especially when I started drinking, our relationship took a turn for the worse and we hated each other. Like we fought. I made her cry. Like it was like even in sobriety, like when I first got sober, I was a brat. And I would see my mom crying and be like, okay, whatever, pull together, woman. But like when my dad cried still to this day, like I just remember the first time I saw him cry in sobriety and like I was heartbroken. So I went to FSU. My first night at FSU, I remember going out. I don't remember getting back into my dorm or wherever I was at. I remember eating a sandwich. and being told that I almost went to jail for public indecency. I was like, oh, great. This is going to be a really great school year. My first week of school there, I actually went to class, and then I decided it was a waste of time, and I had priorities. So from that point on, I just drank every single day, and I hid rum in my rain boots so my roommates wouldn't steal it. I was at a meeting the other day, and they're like, we would share alcohol. I was like, if you try to take my alcohol, I'd slit your throat. That's not part of the game here. And throughout this time, I was in a relationship with the guy, and he kept telling me, like, you need to calm down a little bit. Your drinking's, you know, taking over the world. And I was just like, listen, you don't understand what this does for me. And he didn't understand because he's not an alcoholic. Eventually, my drinking got really serious, and I couldn't function on the weekends. I would get drunk and then make a bad mistake or something and call my roommate now who lives in Lakeland and be like, I need to come home. And I would come on her couch and sleep on her couch for 3 days straight. I wouldn't shower. I wouldn't brush my teeth. I didn't care. And in less than a semester, my grades went from like straight A's to straight C's. So alcohol definitely took every aspect of my life over. But I didn't see a problem. Like, it was so easy to be in that college environment, to go to the football games and be like, listen, they're drinking way more than I am. But again, I'm like 89 pounds. Like, really, come on now. Like, it doesn't take that much. So eventually me and my boyfriend at the time got into a fight at a party in Orlando. And he was really upset with me because he found out some things I had done with his best friend, and I ended up punching my best friend and telling her she was a dirty. I got racist when I drank, apparently, because I told her that she was a dirty Cuban, and I woke up the next morning. I was like, oh, everything's fine, whatever. And they're like, Megan, you made a complete ass out of yourself. I was like, oh, really? And at that point, my boyfriend looked at me and was like, I can't be with you anymore because you don't care about me. You care about alcohol more than you care about me. And I did. And I didn't care. But after a day of being like by myself and drinking by myself and realizing for the first time in a long time that I was completely by myself and it was just me and a bottle of liquor. And I remember coming to Lakeland that night after all that had happened and buying a bottle of rum. I liked rum. And looking at my dog, and because it was just me and my dog on the couch. I know, I'm so crazy. And I looked at him and I was like, if I die tonight, I'm sorry and I love you. And I asked God to kill me that night because I didn't want to live anymore. I had nothing to live for. It was always people, places, and things that made me who I was. And I was never good enough for those people, places, and things. So alcohol helped me make myself up with these people. It was just this weird mind concept. So unfortunately, God did not kill me that night. So I came up with this brilliant idea of like, I'll go to rehab. Everything will be okay. So as soon as I get back up to Tallahassee, I find this treatment center, and they give you like a questionnaire. And I was really honest. I don't know why. And they're like, well, you should probably go to the inpatient treatment in Gainesville. And I looked at him, and I was like, if you send me to Gainesville, I will kill all of you guys. I'm a Florida State Seminole. I don't do that. And that was just how big my ego was. Like, I was physically dying. You know, the last few months of my drinking, it didn't take much to get me drunk anymore. And I couldn't even go to Gainesville to go to rehab. So I went to treatment, and I would take notes and color all these pictures, and I would show my boyfriend, like, look at me, I'm trying to get sober. Like, I didn't want to get sober, I just wanted to, like, get my boyfriend back. I wanted to get everything I had lost back. My grades really sucked because I didn't do anything when I went to rehab. I just went to rehab. I lost an internship at the Capitol. I didn't shower. I wore the same outfit every day to treatment. This guy's like, they're like, oh, she doesn't shower. No, I didn't. I didn't shower at all. Like, brushing my teeth was a big deal. So I decided that the geographical cure would cure me. So I moved down here to Lakeland, and it took me less than a month to get drunk. So I went out on a bunch of pills, and when you wake up the next morning, you don't know what had happened the night before, and you're locked in a place where you can't get out of. The truth kind of hits you pretty hard. I remember my sponsor coming in, and she just kind of gave me what was up. Like, I can continue living like this and die, or I can get sober. And that's what I decided to do. I decided to get down to the causes and conditions of my disease and figure out what was wrong with me and figure out what my character defects were. And it sucked for a long time, and I hated everybody in the rooms, and you guys were smiling, and like, I still couldn't look at myself in the mirror. Like, I just remember getting out of being Baker acted with all the crazy people. And going to a meeting and like just wanting to break the mirror. Like, I hated who I saw. And today, you know, after being in the program for over a year and a half, like, I have a really great relationship with my mom. She's still crazy. She still does voodoo. I love her. When I first got sober, my sister told me to screw off and die. And, you know, she called me the other day just to say hello. You know, and, like, that wouldn't have happened because of this program. You know, if I didn't have this program, like, I wouldn't be here today. Like, I got into USF, so I'm coming here soon, and I'm so excited. But everything I have today is because of my higher power and because of this program. And, you know, some crappy things have happened to me in sobriety, and I still have a tendency to get in my head and be like, oh, I don't know if I should do this, or this might be better, blah, 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 like, play with my mind. And I don't have to drink over it today. You know, like, I have the tools now to call somebody and be like, listen, I'm going a little bat crazy right now. Help an Asian out. And they do, you know, like, they do. Like, and the people, I mean, I don't know. I haven't gotten sober out here, but the women in Lakeland saved my butt. If I didn't have them, I would not be here today. They let me stay on their couches until I was comfortable to stay by myself. Because I couldn't, I mean, even at 7 months sober, I would be like, I'm home alone this weekend, and I really want to kill myself because I don't like this. And it took me a long time to get out of that self and to get into service and to get into helping other people and other alcoholics. So now I know, like, when I get crazy, it's good to call my friend and be like, hey, do you want your weeds pulled? Because I can do that for you. So I do the craziest things. The ladies in Lakeland, they're crazy. But thank you, Bill, for asking me to speak. I appreciate you. And I can't wait to come out here and get sober with you guys even more. And, yeah.